Well, sweet. So apparently I'm from Michigan now. For those of you that maybe haven't seen the paparazzi photos, last night as I was concluding the Saturday night service, I was headed home to Manistee, and I turned left on 37 right there in Mesick, and I got about a mile down the way, and I did not hit a deer. I smoked her, all right? So going about 60, killed a deer with my car, or it killed my car with a deer. I don't know how that really works, but Pastor John took it upon himself to join me there to console, to take photos, and to post it. So I'm glad that you guys got to. Yeah, I found it interesting, though, as I'm looking through kind of some of his other posts, and anytime he posts something spiritual and theological, he gets like 3 likes and 2 comments from Neil Grove saying amen, right? Because we love Neil and he's an encourager. But then he posts me in front of my car with a hole in front of it, and it's like 200 likes, 40 comments, people laughing. And it's like, all right, so that's what we're doing now. Okay, sounds good. Excited, glad I got to be a part of your evening entertainment. No, but I did learn that I'm not actually from Michigan because I failed in the last step. I didn't load her up. I left her lay. So McQueen boys in Manistee, she's in Mesick in the ditch. You can go gut her with your teeth or whatever you guys do around here. No, she's being enjoyed by Mother Nature as we speak. So her and my headlighter just laying there together. So yeah, and I'm probably going to pray now, try to redeem this, and let's see what God's word has to say. What do you guys think? Lord, we praise you. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this incredible state that we get to live in. Beautiful, sometimes right in front of your face. but we thank you for safety, for the fact that you're in charge and we're not. And we ask today that as we get into your word, that a little bit of your word would get into us, that we would see it in a new way, that these wouldn't just be words on a piece of paper, but they would be the very life that we breathe, the breath in our lungs. Lord, for anybody in here that maybe doesn't know you, pray that today would be the day, not because of the words of a preacher, but because they meet you and that your spirit shows up and shows off in their life. And so we thank you for that, and we just ask your kingdom come and your will be done. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So you have to think about it, right? He's getting excited. The day is coming. The one whom he's heard all the stories about is coming to town. He wakes up that morning. He gets his clothes on. He gathers his stuff, and he's headed out the door because he wants to be the first one there. As he gets to the doorway, he opens, and he's headed out, and he hears his mom say, "Son, aren't you forgetting something?" Moms, am I right? He turns around, he goes back, she goes, "You forgot your lunch." So he grabs his lunch, can't forget that, and he heads out the door and he goes down the street, turns the corner, gets out to where people think that this man is going to show up this day, and he gets there and he realizes no one else is here. He's looking around, did I miss it? Am I first? What's happening? As he continues to look around, he sees up on a hillside a group of men standing together. So he does what most curious boys would. He kind of sneaks his way up the hill and he finds himself listening to their conversations, a group of them talking. Can you believe that he sat with her? Can you believe? He's just sitting at the well with her? Who is this guy? Man, that last guy we met, he'd been sick for 38 years. One interaction with him changed everything. The boy hears these followers having conversations. Guys, how do you think this is going to go? We're on the run. They want to kill us. Herod's not happy. Did we make the right choice? Then he looks to the one it seems that they're talking about. And he's got one standing next to him, and they're looking off in the distance. It pulls the boy's attention. He looks. There's thousands of people walking down this road. You can see the dust cloud. They're in a hurry. They see the one they've come to see. And he hears the conversation. Philip, how will we feed these people? The boy notices Philip. Oh, he's from here. He's from, I've seen him around town. And he hears the one that the leader calls Philip say, I don't know. It would take 10 months' salary for us to feed all these people. What do you want me to do about it? And then he hears it. Hey, kid, get over here. Come here. Yes, sir. Let me see that. He hands his lunchbox. Hey, Lord, this kid's standing here. He's got 5 pieces of bread and 2 fish. I don't know what we can do with that, but this is what we have. And here's the one they're all following, give instruction. He said, when the people get here, have them sit in groups, organize them a little bit, put them in groups, sit them on this grassy hill, and then let me do the rest. So the people get there, they organize them, they sit them down, and the boy just sits and watches as this Jewish Lunchable gets turned into a feast for thousands of people. And he's watching as these disciples, they're sweating, they're exhausted, they're covered in dirt and mud from walking around and serving these people. And he looks and he sees the one that made it all happen heading the other direction. Then he looks back and the disciples, exhausted, are headed down to the beach. They're loading up the boat. Now we switch lenses. The disciples are in the boat. They're paddling. They've decided, yeah, we don't know where he went, but he'll catch up. So they're headed across the lake, and as they're paddling, they're 3-4 miles into the trip across the lake, and one of them hits the other one. Dude, what's that? It's dark out. They can't see very well. What is coming towards us? Is that a ghost? They're like, Peter, bro, calm down. We've been working all day. You're exhausted. It's not that big of a deal. Peter's like, no, I think it's a ghost. And they hear a voice cry out, it's me. And Peter's like, boys, I'm getting out. And they're like, what are you, Peter? It's always Peter, right? And he gets out of the boat and he walks, and the Lord Jesus is there. He catches him, he gets back in the boat. They find themselves on the other side. Now we pick up the story in John chapter 6. The crowds have heard that Jesus is here. They've come, they've been fed, their needs have been met, but now he's gone. So they get together, they head around the lake, and this is where we pick up the story. John chapter 6, verse 25. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you get here? Jesus answered, truly I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. Don't work for the food that perishes, but for the food that lasts for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. Because God the Father has set his seal of approval on him. What can we do to perform the works of God, they asked. Jesus replied, this is the work of God, that you believe in the one he has sent. Okay, what sign then are you going to do so that we may see and believe you, they asked. What are you going to perform? Our ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, just as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said to them, truly I tell you, Moses didn't give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Then they said, sir, give us this bread always. We pick up the story. These are people that are in need. Keep in mind, the Jewish people are impoverished. They're oppressed. Herod, the ruler, has kind of got his thumb on them, if you would. And it's hard times in this area. And so when they hear the news that there is one that is here that is for them, you can imagine the excitement, right? We can kind of go there with them. The fact that he's healing those by which he's encountering, that he's providing for their needs, that he's teaching things kind of radically. So these people are surrounded. They want to get near to him. And so Jesus finds them and he's feeding them the food. You can imagine the excitement. You don't know where your next meal's coming from, and all of a sudden, there's one that can provide, not just for you, but for the masses. And heck, there was even leftovers. But then he's gone all of a sudden. So like, well, we got to get near this guy. But what we miss in the fact is that Jesus, as he steps away, he realizes, man, I am meeting this need, and they're going to force me to be their king. So he kind of pulls himself away for a moment, finds himself on the other side of the lake, does the Jesus thing where he walks on the water. Go read it, it's sick. But he does the whole thing. And then he picks up, and the people have found him on the other side of the lake. And Jesus confronts them immediately because he knows why they're there. Right? They're not there because of his teachings of being God or the fact that he is the one God has sent. No, they're there because they have a lack. They have a need, and they want that need met. They're not interested in him being Lord. They're just interested in the resources. They want the blessing, not the God. And so Jesus confronts them in that moment. He says, "Truly I tell you, you're looking for me not because you saw the signs, but because the loaves and were filled, because you ate the loaves and were filled." And so that leads me to the question as we come in to church today, or maybe as you're looking at your life, where are you seeking satisfaction? Are you seeking satisfaction? Because that's what we see come to play for the Jewish people in this story. They're seeking satisfaction. They're seeking fulfillment. They're seeking for their needs to be met. They want the temporary. And Jesus confronts them in that moment and says, "You're not here because of me. You're here because of what I can give you." I wonder how many of us that's true for us today. I know for me, I know I say this every time I get up here, but it's true. As I'm writing this message, once again, punch in the face. Why are you doing what you're doing? Why are you spending time with him? Is it because you want to know him? Because you want the stuff? Let's be real. But I know most of us in here, right? Well, are you seeking satisfaction? Yeah, where do you seek it from? That's what he asks. Don't work for the food that perishes, but for the food that has eternal life. And I know most of us, if we were to ask the question, where are you seeking satisfaction? We'd be like, Jesus, right? That's what I'm supposed to say. I think that was the right answer. Yeah. If it was C, I'd have guessed it, right? Jesus. And understand something. I'm not naive enough to think that there are not some people in this room that are actively chasing after Jesus in their everyday life. I think the reason that we see our church be able to do the things that our church is doing is because we have people that are fully surrendered to Jesus, finding their whole satisfaction in him alone. So please hear me. I understand there are people in here that are getting after it, that are finding complete and total fulfillment and satisfaction in Christ alone. But I think if I was to speak to the majority, we'd say that our satisfaction maybe lies outside of him. For some of us, maybe we find our satisfaction in our bank account and the ability to gather more, that if I can just work enough hours and do enough stuff, then I can provide and have enough. And then if I have enough money, then I'll be satisfied. For some of us, maybe we find our satisfaction in our relationships. If I can just secure that marriage, or I can just secure that relationship, if I can just make sure that we firm this thing up and we can really figure this relationship out, then I'll be satisfied. For some of us, it's our kids. If I can just give them the life that I never had, if I can just provide for them and make sure they have every opportunity and avenue for success, if they want to do it, we're doing it. If they need it, they got it. Then I'll be satisfied. For some of us, it's a substance. It's a bottle. If I can just have one more drink, if I can numb out just a little bit more, if I can just forget a little about what I've been through and where I've came from for a moment, then I'll be satisfied. For some of us, it's a drug. If I can just alter my state of mind just for even a second, if I can feel just a little bit better, even if for just a moment, then I'll be satisfied. For some of us, it's sexual. If I can just find myself some things that I can find pleasure in, whether it be on my phone or in a relationship or whatever it is, if I can just find that type of pleasure in my life, then I'll be satisfied. For some of us, it's our busyness. If I can just fill the calendar and make sure I never have enough time to stop and think about what I don't have, then I'll be satisfied. I wonder if any of you can relate with any of those. You see, the problem with those being the avenues by which we find our satisfaction and fulfillment is the fact that those things are always changing. If your satisfaction is found in the bank account, what happens when you lose the job? Or the investment doesn't hit? Or crypto doesn't work out? What happens? If we find our satisfaction in the relationship when they leave, when it turns out they're not who they said they were. Where do we find satisfaction then? What if we find it in our kids and their ability to achieve and our ability to provide for them, and then they leave? They end up addicted to drugs. Where do we find our satisfaction then? If it's a substance, what happens when the bottle's empty? When there's not enough anymore? See, we can't find satisfaction in things that are always changing. So Jesus tells them, you need to find it in something that will last for eternal life. And they respond like I think a lot of us maybe are right now. So then what can we do? What work can I do? What box can I check? How can I make sure that I secure this satisfaction for myself? Just let me know and I'll do it. What can I do? I imagine there's urgency, maybe not. But Jesus replies, this is the work that you believe. This is the work that you believe. That's hard sometimes, isn't it? That's difficult, isn't it? To just trust in the fact that he is complete satisfaction, that he is a provider. To trust that what he says about himself is true, that he is the I am. That he is everything we need in our time of lack. This is the work that you believe. And I know a lot of us, right? It's easier said than done. It's easy for you to say, you just read your Bible for a job, right? You don't know what I'm going through. You don't know how busy I am. You don't know how things are at work. This is the work that you believe. And I understand, guys, I've been there. I'm still there sometimes. Where the hardest thing I have to do in my whole entire life is trust the fact that he is who he says he is, and that what he has done for me is true and finished. I remember in my early 20s, there being a time where the only satisfaction I seemed to be able to find was at the bottom of a bottle, where it was just one more drink. If I could just get one more drink, I wouldn't have to feel the false identity that I'd sold to everybody else. But when that stopped working, it was one more drug. And it was sitting on my bed in the middle of the night, realizing, man, there's got to be something more. Are you there? Are you wondering, is there something more than just this life I'm living? I was. It wasn't until I had an encounter with the living Jesus. And it wasn't this miraculous, crazy, he didn't feed 5,000, but man, he would have known how to get to me, right? But it was a small, quiet moment where I heard the promise, are you lost? Are you broken? Because he's not. Will you surrender everything to him? That's all that it took for me that day. But it was a process. It wasn't finished, right? I still struggle still to this day with finding complete satisfaction in him alone. I'm just being vulnerable and honest with you. If I never get back up here, so be it. It's hard, it's difficult, it takes time, it takes commitment, it takes continuously denying yourself and resetting yourself back to God's will. It takes continuous time getting to know him. But as you continue in that process, it becomes a little bit easier each time to know who he is. Because I think that's our biggest problem, that's our biggest roadblock in our ability to find complete satisfaction in Jesus, is the fact that a lot of us don't really know him. We're not taking the time in our lives to make him a priority, to know him deeply. Some of us, we don't have a relationship with Jesus through his scriptures, we have it through the sermons. Some of us don't have a relationship with Jesus, we just have a relationship with John. And he told me I could say that. But I wonder how many of us in here, right, we're struggling to find complete satisfaction in Jesus, and he's sitting here and he's saying, will you just dust off your Bible and get to know me? I can't be what you don't know. I can't be what you won't let me be. So for some of us, this process of what do we do? Believe. It's not about checking more boxes. It's not about obtaining more achievements. It's surrender. It's surrender. It's a surrender of your lifestyle, a surrender of your preferences, a surrender of your schedule, a surrender of your priorities. And it's trusting the fact that what he works out in our life must be what I need. And that's difficult sometimes. This is a silly example, but I smoked a deer last night. After I got done preaching, and I'm like, what the heck, bro? I'm just doing what you told me to. Am I not supposed to be doing this? And there's those little moments. And this might be something that you're like, yeah, okay, whatever. But man, there are those little moments where it's, I am. I'm enough. I got you. But I think the issue is so many of us explain away the presence of Jesus in our lives. We've taken it upon ourselves to explain away and make everything a coincidence rather than trusting the fact that he's got you. Trusting the fact that he is enough. Trusting the fact that he is a provider. Trusting the fact that he is one that brings provision and sustainability. And it's because we're looking outside of him for those things. I love when this is the dumbest question ever, and I would have been the first one to ask it if I would have been there, right? Believe in the one he has sent. They pipe up. What sign then are you going to do so we may see and believe you? They just ate all the food that he created out of a Jewish Lunchable. Right? These are the same people that showed up because they heard he was healing people. These are the same people that had the realization of, oh crap, he walked across that lake. He didn't get in a boat, right? But they're wondering, so what are you going to do? Prove it. Prove it. What are you going to do for me so that I can believe? What are you going to do? I wonder how many of us were stuck in that rhythm. We're stuck in that pattern of waiting for Jesus to do something more rather than settling into the fact that he's already done enough. Guys, I'm going to say this, and I mean it with my whole heart. The gospel is more than we deserve. The fact that Jesus Christ came and dwelled on this earth was completely dismembered and tortured for us, so that he could bring us back to him. The fact that he died on a cross, that he was buried, that he rose from a grave, and the fact that he is seated on the throne in heaven, and we can find identity, purpose, and life in that alone, guys, that's more than we'll ever need or deserve. But the problem is we're so self-focused that we think the gospel isn't enough anymore. Yeah, but what else? What else can you do for me? What about my job? What about my bank account? What about my temporary satisfaction? What about my pleasure? And we as a people have decided the gospel's no longer enough. The gospel is more than enough. It's more than we ever deserved. So we've got to shift our focus from the fact that we need more and focus on the thing that he's already finished. That he's already finished. But I think the thing is that I was hitting on earlier is we explain it away. There's simple signs. How do I know the gospel's enough for me? You just heard it. And if that's your first time ever hearing it, let me tell you something. It's really easy to allow that to be enough for you. It's simply saying, Jesus, you know what? I'm sorry for the way that my sins have hurt you. I want to believe in you now, and I want to turn and I want to give my life to you. Boom, the gospel's enough. There's your sign. There's your sign. Did somebody invite you to church this morning? There's your sign. Did somebody invite you to that AA group? There's your sign. Did somebody invite you to Fight Club for the first time? There's your sign. Did somebody invite you to a women's group for the first time? There's your sign. Did somebody buy you a Bible? There's your sign. Did somebody say, hey, can I pray for you? There's your sign. We've got to quit explaining away the tangible presence of Jesus in our life for the sake of something more and trust the fact that he is enough. And what he says about himself is true. Guys, he's not a God of confusion. It's not, let me see if I can get all the puzzle pieces and put them together and then I'll really see what Jesus is doing in my life. No, it's plain, it's simple. If you're here today, I believe this with my whole heart. You're here because he wants you here. You're here because he wants you here. And I know you're like, yeah, but Bill invited me. Yeah, but it was the Jesus and Bill that made him bold enough to invite you in the first place. So don't explain it away. Trust the fact that the person of Jesus is saying, Will you come and let me be enough for you? Will you let me be your sustainer? Will you let me be the I am? He continues into verse 35. I am the bread of life, Jesus told them. No one who comes to me will ever be hungry, and no one who believes in me will ever be thirsty again. Jesus reminds them as they're seeking for more that he's the only one that can provide true and complete satisfaction. Church, that's for us today. Jesus satisfies. I am the bread of life. And for us as a church, there's no better message for us today than to understand and know that Jesus Christ is the only one that will ever be enough for us. And you will not find the satisfaction you're seeking in the world. You won't find it in your bank account. You won't find it in your kid's success. You won't find it in pornography. You won't find it in a bottle. You won't find it in a drug. The only place that you will find total and complete satisfaction that cannot be stripped away from you is in the person of Jesus Christ. I am the bread of life. And so many of us are standing here saying, yeah, but will you give me more bread? And he's trying to get us to understand, no, I am the bread. I am enough. It's not about more blessing. It's not about more provision. It's about the fact that he came and dwelled among us, that he took on the likeness of a man, that he humbled himself to death, so that he could ultimately sustain us and bring us back to him. Do you see that? Do you see it? They didn't. It keeps going. Therefore, the Jews started grumbling about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. And they're saying, isn't this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? Who's this dude think he is? And he continues and he says, no, listen, the only way to eternal life is through me. He says the most insane, radical thing ever, right? And for us, it makes a little bit more sense, but think about, put yourself there. He says, so Jesus told him, truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life in yourself, right? For us, a church that takes communion once a month, we're like, yeah, that makes sense. We come, we eat the little Hawaiian bread, we get the juice, do the dunk, right? We're participating in the sacrament. We're remembering the ultimate sacrifice of who he was, the fact that he gave his body for us, that he shed his blood so that we could have an opportunity to spend eternity with him, that he could be the propitiation for our sin, that he could be the substitutionary atonement. He could satisfy the wrath of God so that we don't have to. We get that, right? We take the communion. Think about being this person, though. That's never heard this. And he's like, you're going to eat my flesh and drink my blood. And he's like, okay, not really what I was looking for today. Okay, so yeah, now I'm good. I'm out on that. So, but bread and fish, how about that? So, but think about that. And I know that's a radical example, but I wonder how many of us are faced with the reality. No, this is what it's going to look like. I understand you have different ideas of what Jesus needs to be in your life, but this is it. And we respond just like they did. This teaching is hard. Who could accept it? This teaching that Jesus is the only one who satisfies is hard. And I know it's one that could, in the proper setting, with the right amount of people that were really fired up about it, bring butterflies and make us all feel good. And it's just like this unicorns. And man, he's everything we'll ever need. But guys, it's hard. Because let's just be real. Life is hard. Life sucks sometimes. And it's hard for us as a people to shift our focus to the fact that he's enough, that he has a plan, that he is the only one who will satisfy us. That's hard, but it's necessary. It's hard to fix your eyes on Jesus alone. It's hard to deny yourself and your own preferences and your own desires and your own aspirations and trust the fact that he is enough to sustain and provide for you, to bring fulfillment into your life. That is hard, but it's worth it. I say that because a lot of us, I asked the question at the beginning, are you seeking satisfaction? I would follow that question up with, how's that going for you? Have you found it yet? And the things you're turning to? Have you found it in your job? Have you found it in the drugs? Have you found it in the alcohol? Have you found it in the sex? Or is it still not enough? Are you still looking for more? I can tell you in my life, when I shifted my perspective that Jesus is enough, necessarily it didn't make anything easier. Heck, sometimes it made things harder. But it made it worth it. It made it worth it. Because I knew that I was a part of something that was bigger than myself. I was seeking something outside of myself. And in those moments where I was experiencing maybe a momentary sacrifice, I could remember the fact that I don't even deserve to be on this team. But man, he has secured an eternal glory. And though now for a little while that I may suffer, I can settle into the fact that he has finished the work. So I wonder for us, if there's anybody in here that's seeking satisfaction outside of Jesus, that's seeking satisfaction in the world, that's seeking satisfaction in their own way. And the teaching that I am the bread of life is for you today. The simple fact that Jesus is enough to sustain, to fulfill, to provide for your life. That it's not about more bread, it's about settling into the fact that he is the bread. And trusting that he's got you. And you can look outside of the temporary for a moment and fix your eyes on Jesus and say yes to him. Today could be that day. And not explain away the fact that, well, what's he gonna show me? You're here. So why not trust the fact that he got you here and say yes to him today? And say no to yourself. And so I wonder what that could look like for you. Maybe it's when you get home, it's, dust this bad boy off. Let's see what it looks like to live life on his terms. Maybe it's saying yes to the Fight Club invite. Maybe it's spending time in prayer. Maybe it's finally going to that AA group. Maybe it's finally joining the seven pillars. Maybe it's finally settling the fact that you are where you are and being okay with the fact that he's got you. So I'd ask that you bow your heads. The bands are going to come back out in both locations. We're just going to take a moment to spend some time trusting that Spirit of God is good, and it's way better at communicating to people than Britain ever will be. We're just going to ask, Lord, is there anywhere in my life that I need to say no to myself and say yes to you? Is there anywhere in my life that I'm seeking satisfaction? Is there anywhere in my life that I am not trusting that you're enough? Maybe for some of us, it's our finances. Maybe for some of us, it's our relationships. Maybe for some of us, it's an addiction. As you ask him that, I'd invite you to welcome him into that space, to allow Jesus to come and be your ultimate sustainer, to be the bread of life for you. To trust the fact that it's not about more, it's about surrender. Lord, we praise you. God, we thank you that you're enough. That you're a sustainer, you're a provider, you're a fulfiller. God, I'm sorry for the times of my life that I lose sight of that. That I forget that you've already finished the work. That I try to shift my identity away from you and try to find it in other things. That I try to shift my satisfaction away from you and try to find it in other things. I just ask that you'd forgive me for that. That you'd do a work in my heart and remind me. Lord, for those of us in the room, that need to surrender something today, I pray that you'd give us the courage to do it, to say no to ourselves and to say yes to you, to put down the bottle or put down the phone or surrender the fact that 70 hours a week maybe ain't it, and trust that you're enough, to surround ourselves with your people, to allow ourselves to spend time in your word, to be sustained by you, to be known and to know you. Lord, that we would have a prayer life that's one that's built not just on asking you for things, that's built on listening to you. God, I pray that you make us bold and give us opportunity to be bold today. We ask that you do the work. Your servants are listening. Your kingdom come, your will be done. It's in your name we pray.